Luke 4. Hallelujah. Okay, so here it is, and there was delivered, verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Those are the things that he's bringing about here. And what I see here is that this kind of ties together several things that have been taught recently. Because, see, this is both when Pastor was speaking about the place of faith, and he was speaking about that you'd have to see it and how the Father come and habitate it with you before you get there. See, what he's doing right here is he's doing that. He's giving them the results of that. He's giving them the results because, see, the Father had sent him. It says, "He has sent me." He hath sent. He hath done it already. He hath sent me to do these things. He hath anointed me to do. In other words, he had already done it with the Father. It was already complete in the Father. It was already complete in his heart. Now we were about to see the outworking of that in his ministry. Tina was talking about taking territory. Taking territory. And see, this is the same thing. This is a part of taking territory. Because right here, he's declaring, "This is my territory. This is the territory I'm about to take. This is the territory that the Lord and the Father has already given me. I see it. We've habitated in it. Now we're moving into it." Because see, at this moment, he had just come up out of the wilderness, and he had already started doing a few miracles. And so the fame of him was beginning to separate or beginning to be spread around, but he is just at the beginning of his ministry. But he just says here, listen to it again now with those thoughts in your mind, because that is when you have we say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. In other words, it's past tense. I was already anointed for this moment. I was already anointed for these things. These things are my territory. I'm going to tell you what they are so that as I do it, you can be expecting it. As I do it, you'll see it as the confirmation of who I am. You'll see it as the confirmation of what's upon me. He has anointed me. He's declaring his qualification at the same time. He recognized he's been commissioned. And has it because there's a commission in his heart that came out of his perambulation with the Father. There's a commission in his heart that is being released, and that commission will be released into this moment that he's about to have for these 3.5 years. So he's saying, these are the things that God has put in me. Now I want you to watch my life and see what happens. See, he actually began to say it, so we'll just read it again. "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." In other words, he's anointed my words with wisdom and with life. He's anointed my words so that they won't leave the poor in their poor state anymore. He's anointed my words to bring forth increase. "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight of the blind, setting at liberty them that are bruised." You know what? That's the same things that, you know, we still find ourselves needing all those attributes in this society today more than any other time. I think we're sitting at a precipice moment right now. And I think that the faith that we interact with the world with is going to change everything around us. Because as we interact with the world in a place of faith, it's going to very definitely set us apart from those who are around. Those who don't know faith yet, those who haven't heard faith yet, or those who are letting the media speak what they want to speak rather than hearing what the voice of God says. So we're setting at that moment, but see, there's a place right here when we recognize the Christ, the risen one, in us. Now we can actually begin to carry those same characteristics back into the situation around us. Back into around us. So he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty them in their breathing. Did them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. What he's wanting to do is, he's recognizing his own identity here. He's recognizing his mission. And he's calling them to recognize his mission. And he's awakening to them to this is a moment of Jubilee. The acceptable year of the Lord was the year of Jubilee. And he said, this is the year of Jubilee. This is a place where those who've been servants are now set free. Those who've been in bondage are now released. Those who've been in debt are now set free and released. Those who have lost their lands are now restored to their land. Those who lost their inheritance are now gaining their inheritance back. Those are the things that he's releasing into this moment. That's the power of the Jubilee that is upon them. You know, how much of that we get to join in on depends upon where we are focusing our heart and our belief. I know that was exciting, wasn't it? But here's the thing. You can either be pining for what was lost, or you can be planning for what is future. When we turn our heart and say, well, you know what, this thing, this situation that I thought was going to happen, I thought this business was going to work out, I thought this place was going to work out, I thought that person was going to be the one forever. All those things. If we're pining after that, we're missing what is to come. Because, see, the place he's going to perambulate with you is in what is to come. The place that he's going to speak to you is in the what is to come. He will release you from the bondage of those other things, but he's also speaking to you what is to come. I really liked what Pastor had to say a little while back about knowing what the Father has said about you. Knowing what the Father has said about you. I want you to think about this. Let me see how to say it. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. So that means that everything that happened in those first five books of the Bible had to be something that was the result of a discussion between Moses and God. That means all those nice things he had to say about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were the Father's heart being revealed. If we look at the whole book of Genesis is a revealing of the Father's heart towards these people and for these people. When he says, I see your heart, it's a revealing of what Father was seeing. Because, see, this was a discussion between the Lord and Moses is writing it down. So he's, what you're seeing now is what Moses was told by Father about how they walked together when they were on the plain of Mamre. So when he's talking about those things, when he's talking about those things with Abraham, he's giving you a discussion from the Father's viewpoint. That's how the Father cares about you. See, what did he tell Abraham? I want to make you a nation of nations. I want to make you as many as the sands of the sea. As the sand of the seashore. I want to carry you your this place that I have, this relationship that I have on you with you, so that it'll be as many as the stars in the night, the stars in the sky. In other words, I'm going to carry this relationship that I have with you forward into all those who will come after it, who will come out of your line. And we do that not just by the place of his physical line, but by the faith that Abraham carried. When we engage in that same place of faith, that same availability of relationship is there for us. The relationship that walks with God. And remember, when God was considering what he was going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham turned to him and said, "Hey, if there was 100, would you spare the city? Hey, if there was 50, would you spare the city? Hey, if there was 10, I'm sure he was thinking there was at least 10, would you spare the city? He should have gone for 2 because that was the only time he was going to get it, the one. But unless you have relationship with somebody, think about the relationship with God that shows, that demonstrates. Because he's walking with God. He's talking with God. And he has the courage to speak up and say, "Hey, hello, you want to wipe them out, but I think if we can find 10, can we just find 10? Polo, I was just to see, just to have that discussion. Just to have that discussion. That just tells you how much relationship there was between Abraham and the Father. And the fact that the Father noted it enough to tell Moses about it all these years later. It's important for us to recognize those things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to John 8, real quick. And in John 8, there's so much. I just want to give you some scripture to go with what I was telling you. See, John 8, verse 56 says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Not only did he speak to Moses about Abraham, but he spoke to Abraham about Moses. He spoke to Abraham about Jesus. He spoke to him about what was to come and what was to be released as a result of his obedience to do what he asked. You realize it was a tremendous, tremendous gifting and act of faith on the Father's behalf to send his son to be crucified. It was a tremendous act of faith on his behalf because, see, he had to do that standing and knowing you could choose to reject it or receive it. But when we choose to receive it now, thou we're already on in the inside of his faith. There may be times when you feel that you don't have faith. But the fact is, you already have his faith. Because he expressed faith just by what he did for you. That was his faith to you. How many of... we'll get to that in a minute, I think. But his faith towards you. And then so they were questioning him, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." He was just acknowledging who he was and who he is and how he's been there alongside this whole time. How he's been alongside each time. So in John 5. We'll go to 5:25. But how many of you have ever sought or been unsure, am I hearing God? Yeah. Come on. Let's be honest. We all have. Okay. The reality is that we're all, it's like sometimes we question, do I hear God? Do I hear him? But knowing the question, having a question in your heart is not a sin, number one. But number two, know that the fact that you're saved means that you've already heard God. I'll show it to you. John 5:25 says, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. And those who hear shall live. So, George, that means that if you've heard God say, hey, I have something for you, will you receive it? And you put him in your heart, you heard God in order for that to happen. We don't need to make it scary and hard and difficult. It's not. When we just hear in love, when we receive in love what has been offered to us, and we're already hearing him and engaging him. Hallelujah. Glory. Okay. So all of this was kind of forming, those are just things that was kicking around and formed a background. Let's go to Mark 2. Because I was seeing the Father here, and I was just kind of looking, and I was looking to see how some of these things operate. And I see in Mark 2. And they came after him, or they came... Number verse 3, they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. If you're coming to my house, just knock on the door. If you can't get through, give me a call and I'll send somebody out to get you, okay? Yes. As I hear you digging around in my attic, I might not be so happy. And when they had dug an opening, they let it down into the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. So you want to know what the Father thinks about you? What was he doing? They're coming for this man to be healed because he can't walk. They're coming because he can't walk, and so he can't motivate himself on his own. And they're coming, and the Lord says, I see your faith. I see your faith. I see the faith of the ones who are carrying you, and I see the faith of the one who's laying on the mat who's willing to go through this. Because think about it. If four people are lowering you down on a piece of stretched out cloth, and they're lowering you on a rope, you better have some faith. Because otherwise, you're going to tilt this way, you're going to tilt this way, you're going to tilt this way. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he fell out of a boat this weekend. So, because, yeah, it was apparently a very narrow boat, and he's kind of a bigger guy, and he leaned a little bit too much, and ka-choop. Which was, you know, it's funny, as long as he recovered, but the deal was, is that in his case, he's older, so it was a little bit of a struggle. But here's the thing, is that it took some faith for him to submit to going up. Because that was not going to be just a journey for the four, that was a journey for him too. So he said, but I see your faith. Yeah, he could very easily wind up war crippled, being lowered down from the ceiling. I don't want to fall this 20. This is 26 feet right here. I don't want to fall that 26 feet. Yeah. I did have faith at that moment because I told him, I told the Lord, whatever I could do before, I'm going to do after this. Right then, at that moment, I said, or don't let me come up. So I was like, you just put it out there. In those moments, it's just what comes. So you speak it, and then you walk it out. But there's a faith that was happening. There was a faith that was being displayed. But notice what Jesus does. He addresses him as son. As son. He addresses the real problem. He wants to make sure that he knows who he is. He wants to put him in a place of inheritance. So he puts him in a place of inheritance. He says, son. And as he puts him in a place of inheritance, and he addresses the real issue. Because the real issue wasn't the physical thing that was wrong with his body. The real issue was the sin that caused it. See, that's one of the things we don't preach a whole lot anymore. I don't really recall hearing preachers preach about that since when I was little bitty and heard a couple Baptist preachers, you know, where it was all hellfire and brimstone. Yeah. You will repent. But here's the thing is that when we that was too good. That was too quick. Or you will burn, yes. Because that's the nature of what they were speaking. But here's the thing. Some of the sicknesses, some of the things, actually a lot of the issues come from sin. We wouldn't be seeing the things that we're seeing on the street right now if it wasn't for sin. We wouldn't be seeing the things coming out of people's heart that we see in some of these situations if it wasn't for sin. And what we have to recognize is that sometimes, even in an illness, the actual root of it is sin. Now, don't go and make a doctrine out of that. That it, how you know that? Hey, you're sick, so there must be something wrong. There's some sin in your life somewhere, because that's not what he says all the time. But in some of these cases, actually, probably almost half the cases, he actually addresses sin as part of the problem. Maybe as the problem. Because see, there's a cause and effect. Sin is the cause and the disease is the effect. Whatever that is. But when we recognize that, we can also recognize that he's placed us in this place of sonship. He's placed us in a place of inheritance. And he says, when he says, these sins are forgiven you, now he's expressing Father's heart. Because Father's not looking to condemn us. He's looking to set us free from that. And when you remove the sin issue, now you've removed the fuel for the problem. I remember when I first got saved, I went out with Richard and Betty Jean, and we went over to the place was over called Woodlands Christian Center. Woodland Christian Center. Yeah, it was on fire. It wasn't in the Woodlands. It was by Tidwell. Yeah, that's kind of lost in my memory at the moment, but yes. So, but anyway, there was this little old lady, right? She's, you know, actually, she wasn't that old compared to now, so. But anyway, she was probably 70-something, and she was bent over. And the Lord said the problem's not her, and she wanted prayer for her back. And the Lord said, the problem's not her back. The problem is her bitterness toward her son. See, the bitterness toward her son was what was causing her bone to be like it was. But see, being a young Christian, and I didn't want to hurt anybody. I wanted to be nicey-nice. I didn't tell her that. I didn't pray for that. I looked around and I was trying to get Betty Richards' attention so I could ask him, can I pray this or not? And so I couldn't get his attention, and so I just left it be, and I prayed a nice little prayer, and she walked away not healed. Yeah. But see, it was if she had been dealing with the bitterness with her son, she would have got the thing that she needed. Because the Lord asks here just in a few verses down, he says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? I can tell you in my life at this second, your sins are forgiven. It's a whole lot easier for me to tell you than get up and walk. But see, when Jesus had been already encountered this situation before he got there, he had already seen what the Father wanted to do. He already knew what the Father's heart was. He already had been told, I'm here to set those who are the captives. I'm set the captives free. You're laying in a bed, you're a captive. So I already know. I don't have to ask God. I already know this is his heart. Set the captive free. And basically, so he tells him, get up and take your pallet and walk. That's his heart. That's the Father's heart to release us. But that's the place of faith. Because why? Because he was encountering and understood who the Father was and understood what the Father's mission was for him. And as we understand what the Father's mission is for each and every one of us, we can also release what he's put in front of us. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm crying out for. I am delighted to see and know all the people who get helped with doing SOZO and all those other things. I'm delighted for that. But at the same time, that's not everything that God said could happen. I want everybody who comes up here to walk away healed. If Jesus was up here, you're walking away healed. If Jesus is standing there, you're walking away whole, restored, every part of you, spirit, soul, and body being restored. If Jesus is up there, then you're walking away with the fullness of inheritance and the fullness of the understanding of who Father is. We want to represent the Father. We want to represent who he is. Glory to God. I want to take you through one other thought. One other thought structure. Because, see, sometimes when we're standing and we're looking and we're standing in faith, we misunderstand the workings of faith. Go with me to James 2. Hallelujah. James 2. See, in James 2, he tells us these things here. Verse 14, what use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? And see, one of the things that we do, we've kind of given works a bad name in some Christian circles, because it got associated with an empty performance. You know, you can have an empty performance that doesn't look like God. You can have an empty performance that doesn't take any faith whatsoever to do. I know people who've gotten up and been part of worship teams and weren't even saved. Okay? They have a beautiful voice or an incredible, amazing talent. But they're not saved. That's not a work of faith that they're doing. I know people who've been parts of church leadership, parts of church boards, who weren't even saved. And Please, if that's happening in your church, let them know that's not okay. I know that's not happening here, but out there, it's not okay. Because see, the deal is that you, if you, whatever it is that you're doing, if you're doing it out of just an empty religious practice, if you're making sacrifices out of an empty religious practice, if you're like there was 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, if you give your body to be burned but have not love, it means nothing. When we do things out of just an empty religious practice, that's sometimes what we lump in as works, without seeing that there's works that are fueled by faith. The difference is number one, is this work coming after your experience and after your change and transition over into faith? Because when you become born again, now you have the possibility of those works becoming from a place of faith. But it takes more than just you being saved, it takes it being a stand of faith. Let me explain what I'm... See, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac on his son on the altar? You see, faith was working with his works, and as a result, faith was perfected. The works of faith will actually perfect faith. They will bring it into completion. They will bring it into fulfillment. The works of faith will actually bring something out of the supernatural and into the natural, but it required an investment on your part on something that had yet to happen. Something that was in the future, but you have to see it and reach into it and pull it from the future into the now. Did that make sense? Good. Because I want you to see. Because see, when we reach out into the future now and bring it into the now, that's the difference between being an altar boy and stepping out in faith. Being an altar boy is just a work that can be just empty because you're not even looking to meet God in it. Is it a bad thing? No, it's a good thing. But if we're not engaging faith for the process, it's not an act, it's not a work of faith. But if we're doing actual work of faith, it takes all of our believing, all of our seeing, and all of our choosing to be with God in His in delivering what He's called us to deliver. See, look here at the next example. See, well, let's go on to verse 23. It says, Scripture was filled which says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In other words, when we're actually engaging faith, faith will have an outworking in us even if we didn't intend for it. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? See, Rahab had to see, she had to believe that the Lord was with Israel. And when she saw that the Lord was with Israel, she believed in the Lord and she knew that, hey, whatever I can do to help these was going to help me. Whatever I can do to receive and to acknowledge this God is where I need to be. And so she had to take a step of faith that could have cost her life. She had to go and interface with they sent some guards who were looking for these men to her house, and she had to tell them, no, they don't. I didn't see nobody. Must be the house next door. Why don't you go check? Go over there. I saw him running down the street, you know, and they had a red cape on, so you should be able to see him quickly. See, when we see what she put her life at risk because of faith. She put her life at risk because faith was there, and she was willing to step out past what could be seen. as you perambulate with God, as you walk with Him, as you engage Him, that movement with the Lord places you in a place where you can begin to perceive what's out ahead. And when you perceive what's out of head, now when you begin to act on it, now that becomes an act of faith. That becomes a work of faith. It demonstrates what's active in your heart. It demonstrates what's active in your life. When you begin to see that there's something different, now you'll actually be able to recognize in your own life sometimes God has done a difference. When you didn't yank the guy off the forklift, then you recognize, hey, there's something different in my life. Because that actually had turned out was an act of faith, because it was an outworking of what God was doing inside of you. When we respond differently to the world around us, when we respond in a place of faith, those are works of faith. Each and every one of us has a call. A few people are called into a visible ministry spot. But each and every one of us has a call, whether we're at home, whether we're at Walmart, whether we're at work, whether we're wherever. Those people at Walmart need you. Okay? Pull your mask down and let them, they need you. They need you. We need to engage the Father because there's people here who need us. We need to engage the Father because He's calling us to look a little different. He's calling us to sound a little different. He's calling us to respond and to let our light shine in a different way. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine forth so that people may see your works and by that glorify God. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Chris, cue it up. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Because see, as you shine, the whole point of your light shining is to bring glory to the Lord. The whole point of your light shining is so God can get the glory. The whole thing is that when we begin to put our push towards giving God the glory, now He has every reason and every right to bring the breath of God alongside you. And when that happens, there's no stopping it. When it's the breath of God that comes across, when it's the breath of God that moves across a situation, moves across a circumstance, it moves across a city, it's time for the breath of God to move across this city. It's time for the breath of God to stir up this city. And it's time for us to just let the light shine so that He can get the glory. Hallelujah.